Hi, I'm Debbie Crane, and you're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show, episode number 376.
Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Confetti.
Hi, thank you for joining me. I'm Debbie Quain, and you're listening to episode number 376 of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. If you're passionate about planning weddings or considering the idea of planning weddings for someone else, other people, for a fee, then that's what this show is all about. My goal is to help you get to that point. Gosh, I hope the music's not too loud in the background. My goal is to help you get to that point of being a phenomenal professional wedding planner, whether that means you want to plan weddings as the owner-operator of your own company, or perhaps work for someone else, another company, and planning weddings as an employee for them, or maybe as an independent contractor. So for today's show, I want to go through a series of questions that I've received. And if you have a question about being a phenomenal wedding planner, here's how you can send the information my way. So if you go onto weddingsforaliving.com, which is the website that holds all of the cards, I like how that sounds. The websites that hold the trying to be cute. Weddingsforaliving.com is a website where you can get all the information about Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show, and other bits and pieces of information about being a phenomenal wedding planner. So on that website, you'll see on the right-hand side, there's a column, there's a button that says Ask Debbie. I think it says something like that. No, I tell a lie. It says, wedding planners got a question. Send your wedding planner questions to Debbie. Ask now. And if you click on that, then a window is going to pop up and you can actually ask your question using the microphone that's attached to your device, whether it's your desktop, laptop, smartphone, and leave a message and I'll get the message. The other option is for you just to pick up the phone and call. I don't know if anyone's using their phone to make phone calls. I know of a few people, my daughter, who gets irritated when I call. She just wants me to text. But anyhow, if you want to do old school and pick up the phone and call, the number to call is area code 202-681-2126. 202-681-2126, and leave your voicemail message there. And that way I'll hear what you got to say, include your name, where you're calling from, and I'll do my best to answer it on the show. Let's stop this music here. I can see it moving in the background. So I don't know about you, but I've missed you. And my plan is to always try to do the live show. So Confetti, right, got its start on Blog Talk Radio, in case you didn't know that. And Blog Talk Radio is a really great platform if you want to start your own talk show, podcast, whatever, and just requires you to have access to the internet and a telephone. And those shows were done live. And I really like that for several reasons. The interaction is great. I know I'm not speaking to myself because you're there. You know, you can ask questions live, whether in the chat room or on the phone. But it also holds me to task because my intention is to do the show. But a lot of times if I know it's just me, I can kind of put it off. So my goal is to do the show the first Saturday of each month. And that didn't happen this Saturday gone. And I keep thinking, okay, what date and time is going to work? So rather than have you wait forever and ever and ever, I'm recording the show offline. So right now it's just me, my microphone, recorder, and I'm going to do the show that way. So I hope you understand. And I apologize for not staying true to my word and doing the live broadcast on Saturday, but it wasn't intentional. And I have missed you. I really have. So let's get into some of these questions that I received. And remember, I just told you, you can call in and ask. The very first question I have is from someone who called in, Megan. And Megan has been part of the live talk show. I remember her being in the chat room the last time around, which would have been the October live interactive Confetti talk show. So let's see what Megan's got to say, if I can get the volume right here.
Hi, Debbie. My name is Megan of Celebrate Colorfully in Dallas, Texas, and we love simple, sane, handmade events. And I'm calling, first of all, to say hello, and that I think you're amazing. And second, because I have two resources that I wanted to share for people out there who are looking and booking clients. I've come across these two in the past few months. I've used them, and I think they're really, really great resources that are newer that you might not have heard of yet. The first one is thumbtack.com, thumb like your finger, tack.com. And basically what that is you set up a profile with pictures and all your information and services, and you set your area. And anytime someone comes to that site looking for one of your services, like a wedding planner, a wedding coordinator, a wedding officiant in your area, it sends you an email letting them know what they're looking for, what the event date is, what their color scheme is, all the questions that are on the predetermined form. And you get to decide whether you want to send a quote or if you want to pass on it. But it's a really good way to find people who are already interested in your service. It's not as much of a hard sell. And I actually got my very first client via Thumbtack. You can communicate back and forth. It's just a really great resource for someone who's looking for leads and isn't really sure where to begin. The second resource, which is so fantastic, is called honeybook.com. Honey, like the sweet topping, book.com. And basically what this is a booking platform where you can set up your contracts and send them electronically to your clients and have them pay and sign the contracts. Everything is online. They can always go back and reference it. You can make changes. You can bill them. You can invoice them for any additional services you provide. I just started using it. It is completely amazing. It's totally worth it. It's a really new startup. And there is a waiting list to get into the system, but they were really quick to contact me back. There's a one-time fee to start up, and then after that one time, which is like not yearly or anything, it's just one flat fee, and then after that they take 3.5% of whatever credit or debit card charges you do through the site, which is the same as the Square Up application. So if anyone out there is using Square Up, there's basically no difference. Anyways, I really wanted to share those two with you because they are doing wonders for me right now. I listen to the show all the time, and the last live show was my first time in the chat room, but I'm going to be a regular from now on. Thank you for everything. Bye.
Thank you, Megan. What a wonderful message and great resources. So, Megan, my memory. I remember the business name. I remember being so impressed by it. Say the name again, Megan.
Hi, Debbie. My name is Megan of Celebrate Colorfully. And
that's it. Celebrate Colorfully. I'm just losing my mind here. Couldn't remember. So Megan mentioned two great resources, Thumbtack and Honeybook. Now, Thumbtack, Megan mentioned in her voicemail that I may not be familiar with them. I actually am very familiar with Thumbtack. So as she described, Thumbtack is sort of like a board where you can not like a job board of sorts where people say what services they need and, you know, people, professionals sort of show their wares, display their wares. I'm using a terrible analogy there. So that's what Thumbtack is all about. And just so that you know, and Megan went on to say that she's booked business as a wedding planner using Thumbtack. So, you know, Thumbtack, like the Thumbtack that you would push into the wall. And they've been around for a little bit. If you go onto the weddingsforliving.com website, right, on the homepage, or actually from any page, on the very top, so you've got the main links that say home and the talk show articles. But at the very top, there are a couple of links as it is right now, because I changed the site around quite a bit. Sorry. There's a link that says jobs. And if you click that, you will see a list of jobs that are all wedding planner related, or hopefully that most of them are. And what that page is displaying is it's actually pulling in different job postings from different places. Well, a lot of the job postings that are on that link, and you can actually go there directly, but just by punching in myweddingcareer.com, a lot of the job postings that are there are actually being pulled in from Thumbtack. So the telltale sign is usually if you see a job posting and it says the company is a private contract, it's pulling it in from Thumbtack. So what My Wedding Career does, it's kind of like, that's not the only place those are not the only types of jobs that you'll see there, but you can use that as a resource to see where the job postings are. They're all across the United States. And if you'd like to sign up to follow My Wedding Career on Twitter, My Wedding Career, you'll actually, each time there's a job posting, you can just check out the Twitter feed that way. So that might be an easier way to do that. But so Thumbtack, I am actually familiar with. And as Megan mentioned, you know, you get to the descriptions. I'll look at one right now. This says, need wedding officiant. And it's in Blue Island, Illinois. And it says, what type of ceremony, wedding, service type, Catholic, guests, 150 to 200. Help writing vows, we're not sure yet. It asks, and this is Thumbtack, you know, narrowing it down. Wedding officiant needed at rehearsal. The response is, we're not sure yet. The message goes on to say, second wedding for both bride and groom. The date is Friday, August the 15th, 2015. So these guys are really planning ahead. It's not until next year. So if you are in Blue Island, Illinois, then you can contact someone, contact these people who have posted this. So it says right here, interested in this job? Thousands of customers visit Thumbtack every day looking for people to help them with jobs just like this one. It's not just wedding stuff, but weddings are a category of Thumbtack. So as Megan says, and I'm repeating, she got her first, I think she said it was her first job from Thumbtack. So you can sign up for that. But just also know that if you check out myweddingcareer.com, which you can find from that link that says jobs on weddings for a living, a little convoluted, right? Then a lot of those leads, a lot of those job postings are for a private contract. But not just that, jumping back onto the jobs that are posted on My Wedding Career, most of these are other postings are for jobs for other companies. So, you know, you can work for yourself and still, you know, work for some, you know, at work in the wedding industry for another company. Or if you're not quite ready to launch your business, you can do that. Like, for example, the Palace Cafe located in Sunnyvale, California, is hiring a catering manager. Not directly wedding as a wedding planner, but definitely in that realm, because catering is a major part of what we do as wedding planners. Customer service position here, Mr. Tuck's formal wear, in Lake Zurich, Illinois. I'm just kind of scrolling down. A lot of them are private contract. Again, when you see that, they're pulling in from Thumbtack. Need a wedding decorator. This person has listed that there. I was looking to see if there were any others. Like bridal consultant, Wedding Wonderland in Lexington, Kentucky. Let me see what that posting says. Motivated, passionate, professional sales consultant, must be able to achieve sales goals on a monthly basis, must be confident, friendly, and patient. A lot of wedding positions are heavily involved with sales. So I know that may be a bit of a turnoff for you, but think about this. If you're going to be running your own wedding business or any business, you're going to have to sell your business. Not sell your business, but get people who are a good match for your business to know what it is that you do. That's marketing, but you do actually have to sell to some extent, you know, so that people understand what it is that you offer and if it's of value to them. And sometimes, a lot of times people will contact you, but you still have to close the sale, as it were. So that's a great resource. Thank you for sharing that, Megan. The other resource that Megan mentioned, is Honeybook. That was a company I had not heard of. And she says she uses this for, she said sending contracts, right? For her clients, a booking. It says Honeybook is modern, delightful event planning for vendors and their clients. Our tools help event professionals simplify their day-to-day lives and grow their customer base. And she also mentioned that they collect a fee, which is equivalent to Square Up. So this is something I've got to do a little bit more research on. I'm kind of going through the screen, looking at the website. So that was the other one, Honeybook. Honey, B-O-O-K, honeybook.com. So thank you, Megan. Megan mentioned also in her message about Square Up. So just so that you know, most of us use either a debit or credit card to pay for things these days, right? I'm almost always getting caught without cash. So Megan mentioned Square Up, which is a really affordable way to accept credit cards. And Square Up really is a device that you plug into either your smartphone, tablet, anything that portable that has an internet connection. And you plug it into the outlet where headphones would normally go. And what it does is it allows you to swipe a credit card, so someone can pay you with a credit card on the spot, face to face, and there's a fee associated with that. So that's how the company Square Up makes their money, is that they charge you a fee. So what Megan was saying, the fee associated with Honeybook, which I haven't completely delved into, is equivalent to Square Up. So Square Up, I actually use. I have Square Up, but I keep it in my car. There's also something similar that PayPal offers, which is, it's a little triangle. I guess they're trying to make sure that they set themselves apart. But what it is, it's a device you plug in to your phone, smartphone. I plug mine into the iPhone here, and then you can swipe the credit card. So really what it means is that you can take payments on the spot. No excuses. People can pay. You can use it if you're dealing with clients one-on-one and or prospects and they're ready to move forward. Instead of them writing a check, they can actually just use their card. And a lot of times people are using the debit card, which really is just it's almost like writing a check, except the funds are coming out directly out of their checking account and going straight into yours. So there's an account. I missed that part. Maybe that I said it because I thought it was obvious, but let me say so. The account, Square Up, or whether you're using PayPal, PayPal calls it PayPal here. It's connected to a checking account, usually a business account. So any funds that are coming in from that credit card are going directly into the account that's linked up. So that's another show in and of itself. But I just wanted to make sure I clarified what she meant by Square Up. I don't know if that's available globally. I know it's available here in the U.S. in a great way for you. I mean, years ago, it was so difficult. You had to jump through hoops to accept credit cards. And as you might expect with technology and mobility, it's become way easier to do those things. So you don't have to rely on people just writing checks or paying you in cash, which I don't know if a lot of people are doing. Okay. Thank you, Megan, so much. I really, really appreciate the feedback. Thank you for your kind words and sharing those resources. So I'll link those in the show notes. So when you go to weddingsforliving.com/376, I'll link HoneyBook and Thumbtack. Remember, you can pick up wedding postings from Thumbtack if you go to myweddingcareer.com. Okay, let's tackle another question. Just looking at the time here. This question is from Patricia. And Patricia writes, one of the services I offer as part of my partial planning package is providing my clients with a list of recommended vendors, florists, photographers, etc. Since I am already familiar with the vendors and their services, should I attend the meeting when my clients meet with them to discuss the specific needs for their wedding, or should I just have the client fill me in on what was discussed? And she adds a note that I am a coordinator as opposed to a wedding designer. Okay, great question, Patricia. Thank you for sending it in. So when you're planning someone's wedding, you know, there's going to be times you'll spend a lot of time doing the planning process, but you also have to guide your clients. And the answer to your question, Patricia, really depends on what level of service that you're providing. So I understand you're a coordinator. Partial planning. You have to decide what it is. I don't know how you're setting up your services. I don't know if you're being paid by the hour or if your partial planning package really is just that, a package. But one of the things you have to decide when you're setting up packages is what's included. And one of the things that you have to decide with regard to what's included is how many meetings are you going to have with clients? How many face-to-face meetings? And when I break down my packages, and keep in mind, I spend a lot of time focusing on day of, is that I decide up front how many client meetings are involved in each package. There's always going to be at least two client meetings. The very first meeting when they become clients, and the second meeting is going to be right before the wedding rehearsal, so that we can go over any final points and if they have anything that they need to give to me that I need to set up on the wedding day, like if they have toasting goblets or something like that, or if they're doing the unity candle ceremony at the wedding ceremony and I don't have those items in hand yet, I'll get those at the last meeting. But it's also the time for me to kind of go over the wedding timeline and make sure that everything's set up. If they have any tips that they need to give to me so that I can hand out to vendors, this happens at that meeting. So what you have to do, Patricia, is determine how many meetings does it require you, how many meetings are required of you to do your job. And it varies. Vendor visits are different. What you can do is decide, okay, I'm going to do this package will include two vendor visits. This package will include four vendor visits. And then your clients get to decide which vendors they want you to accompany them with. to. It's a terrible sentence structure right there. Which vendor visits they want you to go on with them. That didn't even sound a whole lot better, but I'm sticking with that. So you have to, you can leave it up to them. You can just give them a certain number and tell them, you know, you get two vendor visits. Just let me know which ones you want to go on. And you can recommend which ones are usually good to, which ones are usually best served with you there. For example, catering, if they're, if it's, meeting with a caterer is a good one to have you present with, because catering usually takes up a takes up a lot of the wedding budget. So it stands to reason that you might want to be present for that. Anything that involves a lot of logistics, if you say you're not a wedding decorator, but if they are meeting with a wedding decorator, they may want you present for that. But you can leave it up to them to decide, or you can specify, if you know from previous weddings, which vendor meetings you absolutely want to be there for. Then you can specify, you know, I'll be there for your catering vendor visit. I'll be there for your cake tasting. Yum. I'll be there for your DJ band auditions. You get to decide. So, you know, either way, what I always do is prep my clients for their vendor visits, whether I'm going or not, because I want them to know what to expect at this upcoming meeting, what the vendor's likely to talk about. Hopefully you're sending your clients to vendors that you have relationships with, and you say that you do. You say, as part of my partial planning package, you have a list of recommended vendors. So you have a relationship. So just give them some background information, just need to know stuff, not, you know, don't drag that on, so that they know what to expect. And then if they're going on their own, you can tell them these are the questions you might want to find out the answers to. And when the meeting is over, let me know how it went. And then you make sure you follow up with them. If they don't make the call back to you, once you know the meeting's over, you follow up with them and also follow up with the vendor to see what happened. So you can do it that way, or you can decide. And if it's a vendor visit that you're going on with them, still prep them and make sure you kind of get an idea of what their feelings were at the end of the vendor meeting. Just make sure you let the vendor lead. I know that sounds obvious, but sometimes because we know so much, ask me how I know that, guilty as charged sometimes, that we sometimes overpower the vendor meeting, and not necessarily as something that's intended, but let the vendor do what he or she does, unless you see some missing parts and then you might want to jog their memory, but let them lead. So Patricia, it's really up to you. The thing is, you have to decide now what your planning package is going to include. You can decide, you know, determine a certain number of vendor visits. You can either let your clients decide which vendor visits they want you to go on with them, or you can decide, these are the vendor visits I must accompany you on. I hate that sentence. And also make sure you include what additional vendor visits will cost if they go outside. So if you have a package and they signed up for, and there are two vendor visits included, and they decide they want you to go on another vendor visit, they've already taken up their two, let them know up front, this is the fee, this is what the cost is for an additional vendor visit. So I hope that helps answer your question. And I'd love to hear your feedback, anyone else, how you're handling your vendor visits. Do you go on each one with your client, or are you letting them pick which ones? And again, this is partial planning. Full service planning, a lot of times, if you're offering full service, which is normally the highest, the premium planning package that you offer, more than likely you're going to go on most, if not all, of those vendor visits. And that's what they pay for. And you can distinguish that, and you can use that as a selling feature if couples are trying to decide. If they know that they don't feel comfortable going on these vendor visits on their own, then maybe the premium package is something that they should sign up for. Okay. Thank you, Patricia. Great question. By the way, I messed up a few weeks ago. Wedding Business Guide is an online resource that I created to help you figure out how to get a wedding day coordinator business off the ground. It's a step-by-step system which shows you how to assume the responsibilities of planning a wedding that someone's already taking care of the planning process. That's another bad sentence. What am I doing? So if someone's already started planning the wedding, or pretty much done most of the planning for the wedding, and realize that they need to have someone else there on the wedding day, then being a wedding day coordinator, that's what a wedding coordinator does. You come in at the last 4 to 6 weeks. It's a really great business to run if you have a full-time gig, if you have a full-time job, because you can do this on the side. You can do it part-time. It's a great way for you to get your feet wet, to understand how, you know, about the wedding planning process, because a lot of brides and grooms understand the need to have someone there on the wedding day. So it's an easier service to sell than full service. Full service has its place. I'm not saying it doesn't, but day of coordinating, a lot of couples understand that, especially once you break it down to them. So Wedding Business Guide is based around that, you know, how to take over a wedding, also what to do to set up your business, how to get clients. And at least once a year, I do these live boot camp sessions where in the space of either 4 to 6 weeks, and this time it's 4 weeks, we kind of just do some sessions 1 week after the other to kind of just ramp things up to get things started. So that I did this. I started the Wedding Business Guide boot camp in October of this year. I mean, just a few weeks ago. We're up to session number 4. It's coming up this week. And what I did, or at least what I thought I did, was I sent out an invitation to everybody on the weddingsforliving.com email list to join the first live session. I opened it up for everyone because most of the sessions are usually reserved for members, but I wanted you to get a chance to be a part of it. And I thought, you know, I thought, God, the turnout was a little low, but I just thought, you know, And then I reviewed the stats. I missed the bulk of the weddingsforliving.com email list. I don't know how I managed to do that. So my apologies, I didn't get to send. So you may be thinking, okay, this woman's real sporadic, which can actually be true sometimes, about emailing. And I thought I emailed you. There's a good chance you didn't get that email. So my apologies. The recording of the live sessions that I do are always available in the members area. But if you're not a member of Wedding Business Guide, I didn't make the recording available for that first session. It was just, you know, show up, enjoy it. If you think it's something for you, this is what you got to do to move forward. So what I'm going to do is release that very first session and upload it. And I will send you an email this time. Hopefully you get the email. I send the email and you get it so that you can listen to the replay of the very first session, which is kind of like getting started as a day of coordinator, and that you can listen to it. So I apologize. I thought I'd been in communication with you and have not. So I don't know when I will do another Wedding Business Guide live boot camp. This is definitely the last one for this year, and I'm not quite sure how the boot camp sessions will go moving forward for 2015. So my apologies for not including you when I thought I included you in the email. And secondly, Wedding Business Guide is still available if you want to sign up for it. It's very affordable, and it is, even if I do say so myself, rather comprehensive. So you can check it out at weddingbusinessguide.com if you're ready to get your wedding business started and not quite sure where to begin. Wedding Business Guide will get you, you know, put you on the right track, hopefully. So there you go. So look out for another email from me with the recording. Okay. Just checking the time. Wow. Yep, time's running by. Okay, I'm going to answer one more question. But before I do, I wanted to point out a message that I got from Prerita, who's in India. Thank you. She writes, I just want to emphasize on how much this site means to me. So she sent this comment in on the weddingsforliving.com website. This is everything for a career startup. It's excellent. I'm so glad you being a wedding planner are helping out others in this field. I mean, that's the way to go, right? So okay, I'm reading it with the wrong emphasis. Totally botched that. Sorry, Parita. But basically she's saying, I'm so glad you, being a wedding planner, are helping out others in this field. I mean, that's the way to go, right? There you go. So thank you for all the jewels in this site. Have a great day. Thank you, Parita. I really appreciate it. Thank you so, so much. But Parita, I hope I'm saying it right, P-R-E-R-E-E-T-A, Parita, right? She has a question. Her question is, do Christian weddings come under specialized niche or are they general? Thank you. Okay, Prerita, thank you again for your question. So specializing, I think, is a really great way to stand out as a wedding planner. You know, wedding planning is a very popular career right now, career choice. So you want to do something to stand out from all the other people who are wedding planners. And so Christian weddings, I think, is a niche. Absolutely, Prerita. You say it is, but you know, Christian is such a broad term. So usually when someone says that I am a Christian, then usually there's a denomination that follows beyond that. And not always, they're a non-denominational Christian. So if you are a part of a denomination, a Christian denomination specifically, you can, I would say go with that. Dig deep a little further, because Christian, being a Christian wedding planner is going to appeal to a certain segment of couples. But if you go a little beyond that, I think even better. Because the whole idea behind a niche and specializing is that you want to, and I mean it in the best possible way, is get rid of the people that really don't want what you're offering. I know that sounds counterintuitive as a business owner, a business person, because you want business. But what you want are the people that have put their hand up and want something special, because you will come across as special to them. And the mere fact that you're special, it's sort of like someone, if I'm a Christian, I am, by the way, and I'm planning a wedding, and you know, this is a very, very important part of my life. You know, being a Christian is front and center for me. And when my fiance and I are planning this wedding, I'm going to be drawn to someone who has the same beliefs as I do, who puts the emphasis on God front and center. I mean, it may not necessarily be that way. And maybe I'm stereotyping, you know, a Christian wedding planner, but let's just say that's who I am as a woman getting married. So those things are important to me. Well, a wedding planner who feels the same way and has voiced that he or she feels the same way, I am instantly drawn to that person. I want to hear more. I want to understand what it is that they do. And even if I'm looking at what they're offering and I can see, let's say, prices are posted on that person's website or their marketing information, and it's evident that this wedding planner is likely to cost more than several of the other wedding planners in my area, I still want to hear what this person has to say. I still want to get in touch with this person to see if he or she is a right fit for my wedding. And just by the, I don't know a whole lot about you as a wedding planner, but just the mere fact that you are a Christian wedding planner, you have got my attention. And that's what you want for your business. You want a special type of customer, because you cannot plan every wedding out there. And I get so frustrated when I hear business owners, wedding planners that say anyone planning a wedding within a certain radius is my potential client. No, 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 no. You want to narrow down so that a certain type of person comes your way. Listen, if you're running a business, it stands to reason that you want to run a business that makes you happy and something that you enjoy. Why would you settle for working with clients that potentially don't share the same interests and things that or values that you have? Wouldn't it be a lot more fun? Wouldn't it be a lot more exciting for you to work with people that are in the same camp as you are? So, you know, don't be afraid of specializing. And to answer your question, you know, in response again to Parita's question, I think Christian weddings is a good niche. It is a niche, but you can go one step further and narrow down that niche a little bit beyond that. So, you know, I remember when I planned one of the first destination weddings that I planned was for a Seventh-day Adventist couple. And I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not a baptized Seventh-day Adventist, but I am very familiar with the doctrines within that religion, and it made it super easy. Although they didn't know that when they contacted me, it made it a lot easier. And I like to believe that, you know, that helped, you know, helped us click. It certainly made planning that wedding a whole lot easier, because it helped with the menu. I knew that the wedding wasn't going to happen during Sabbath. It was just a whole lot easier. And it's connections like that that's going to make your life so much easier as a wedding planner. So go for it, Parita. Let me know, assuming you are a Christian and that's why you asked the question, I want to know how that turned out. And let me know, you know, what your niche is. What is your niche for your wedding planning business? Do you have one? You're struggling, you're trying to figure one out, you're not quite sold on the idea of having one. It really, really is a good thing. Oh my gosh, I sound like Martha Stewart there. But it really is. It's going to help you. And actually, you can charge more. I kind of alluded to that. Because when you are a specialist, people expect to pay a little bit more. It's just the way things are. We pay more for specialists because the person has a special knowledge, special understanding of whatever it is that they're doing. And in this case, it's planning weddings. Okay? All right, so I got more questions to answer, but I'm going to leave this episode as it is and record another one for you soon. So keep an eye out. Weddings for a Living is actually on Twitter, and I don't think I've ever said that. So if you go on wedforaliving.com, no, lies, twitter.com, that's the handle, wedforaliving on Twitter, you can see and actually the job postings that I talked about actually come through on Weddings for Living there too. So check that out. All right. Okay. So this was episode number, 376, weddingsforliving.com/376. If you have a question, remember, go on to weddingsforliving.com, hit the Ask Debbie button, and leave me a message. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your questions, your concerns, anything. And don't forget, oh, almost forgot, Confetti Talk Show is on iTunes. So if you go to confettitalkshow.com/iTunes, you'll find the page. You know what? I got some great feedback from iTunes and I forgot to share it. I promise I'll do it the next time around. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to squeeze too much information on this show. As always, love and success. Thank you so much for listening in. Take care.